Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. We, rebroadcast this program. It's replayed on Sunday afternoons at the same time of 3 p.m. Pacific time at A2Zen.fm. That's A2Zen. That's the letter A, the number 2, Z-E-N.fm. And then, of course, we archive our programs at RichardDugan.com, the radio show's page, as well as streaming live on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Pacific time at RichardDugan.com and NewsPress.com. And so we encourage you to check out our outlets, as it were, our syndication and so forth, and take a listen to what we have and share it with friends and just get the word out that this information is here for you. And that's really what the program is about, is making the information available to you. Information today that is going to come from our guest, who is the author of The Universe Speaks, on the love and pain of 2012 to 2025. Interesting title. We're going to find out more about the title and our guest and how, as I said to him as we started our conversation before the interview, how he got into this mess of covering this particular type of subject. Well, I'm going to speculate that my guest probably fell into it the same way that I did with this radio program and how we do this program, and that is that the universe, it's the universe's fault. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that as we continue. I will let you know that in addition to doing these programs and communicating with countless numbers of people who have concepts and ideas and perspectives and points of view and books and workshops and seminars and CDs and expos and lecture series and all of these types of things, everybody has a perspective and a point of view. And if I had the time to cover them all, I would, because that's kind of the point of what I'm doing, is bringing to the forefront people like you, like me, who have something to say about something, and trying to make this place a better world, new paradigms, coming up with those new ways of living, as we keep talking about. Do I have those new ways of living? If I did, I wouldn't be doing this program. I'd be out there trying to bring them about. No, I am fine looking for them just like you are. And that's why we have our various guests on the program. And our guest today on the program is Roar Shepherd, author of The Universe Speaks on the Love and Pain of 2012 to 2025. Welcome to our program, Roar.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so delighted to be here.
It's kind of scary to think that all of the fervor and falderall isn't going to be over December 21st, 2012, that it somehow carries on to 2025. And, it's kind of like we had a fire here in 2007 here on the coast, South Coast. It was actually in the backcountry. It traveled very slowly. Fortunately, it wasn't wind-driven. It was fuel-driven. But it went on for a month. And it was like, is this ever going to end? You know, and of course they were trying. Some would say the same thing about Y2K, and of course that was a big nothing, no happening. And many people are feeling the same way, that 2012 is the same thing. It's a nothing. It's a no happening. And yet you're talking about the universe speaking, as I have shared. I don't ask the questions, Roar. The universe asks the questions. I'm just along for the ride. So I have no idea what kind of questions are going to come up on the program today. But I do know that you and I are tapped into, at least I think I know, that we're tapped into the same universe. Is there any way of gauging that?
I believe we're all tapped into the same universe. We're all receiving. We all were set down here with a certain role to play. We feel we're playing that role, and we're asking questions and receiving answers. So they're coming from some source, so we can just give that source a name. We'll just call it the universe. So we're all tapping into it, and if we're all receiving answers, we're happy to receive something and move on. So that's a good starting point.
And, of course, the universe speaks to each one of us in different ways. I have found it rather interesting. Some people will even refer to the universe, you know, they'll say God, the Father, the universal power, the creator, and so forth. I find it somewhat presumptuous on the part of some folks who want to come to me and say, God told me to tell you. And I often stop them and say, excuse me, but I will receive a collect call from God, the universal power. I'm willing to accept a collect call. It's appreciated to an extent that someone wants to share with me, but each one of us is a filter unto ourselves. And so to then share what we've learned or been told or heard to others, we tend to filter that a little bit, maybe to protect ourselves, sometimes maybe to pass judgment on others, intentionally or otherwise. I'm curious as to this work, the universe speaking about this time period and the love and the pain, because I was under the impression, Roar, that all there was love, that once we get past the dualism, back to the unification of the one, that all there is it's just love and it's just energy. So tell us a little bit about this conversation, if you will, and the love and the pain.
Well, where to start from so much there? Should I start with the background a little bit to where this came from, or do I go right into the love and pain part?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go to the background a little bit later. Let's talk about the love and the pain, because we all seem to experience both. We'd like to only experience the love, unless, of course, I guess you're a masochist or a sadist, one of the two, and you enjoy pain. I am not a fan of it, but, you know, we all experience it here on this plane, on this earth. And, you know, we'd like to find ways to avoid it if we could, but it doesn't seem as though that's going to happen in this life. So what love is the universe speaking about?
I think first everyone wants to go about escaping pain and escaping sort of negative experiences or something. We can start from there. We know that sort of maybe the way we see it, there are maybe 10 dimensions to the universe itself. And the earth itself is a special place, the school. And, you know, when you come to the school, you need your backpack and you need your books and you have your teacher and you have your classroom and you have your test and you have to take them all. And you can't complain, oh, this test is a pain in the butt and I don't want to take this test. You have to take it to graduate from school. And so if the earth is seen as a school, then we have our tests here. And the only way we're going to know about love is if we've experienced hate or pain. The only very common thing. If we only know love, then how would we know love exists? We need some way to actually verify love exists. So the earth itself, they say, is a 50% good things that happen and 50% bad things that happen. So the earth is set up that way. So no matter what you do to try to eliminate the negative things, that they're always going to exist out there. You can't eliminate them completely, but you can take your focus away from them. You can't say, well, those things exist and they help to awaken me and I understand that they're there and I pray that those people who are doing bad things find the way to awaken and to do good things and I pray they go in a good direction. But for me, when I see the choices in front of me between doing bad and good or rightful things or bad things, I'm just going to choose the rightful way at any moment. So we say that energy is a phenomenon. When you try to protest something negative you see, by protesting it, you create more of that. So instead of protesting, you acknowledge it. You acknowledge that someone is thinking in a negative way or acting in a negative way. But for me, instead of focusing on that, I'm just going to focus on the positive and go down that direction. That is the whole structure of the earth. It's set up that way that every moment we constantly have two choices, and we just have to choose the rightful thing and go in that direction. And the more you focus on the negative, you try to get rid of that, it's still going to come back. You eliminate one group or one negative action that's happening, it's still set to come again because that's how the system is set up. So first of all, understanding the system may make you feel a little bit more comfortable. You realize that it's always going to be half and half. You always have that choice at every moment. So it's up to you basically to decide. So on a big picture, if I give the overall structure of the earth, it's just set up that way.
So we have the dynamic, love and the pain. But we also have a time frame. And, of course, right now I'm still spinning off of your title.
Right.
2012 to 2025. That's almost 12, another 12 years. Actually, I should say 13 years. I am not a math major. I want you to know that. even simple math I didn't major in. Nonetheless, we're talking about another 13-year period here. I thought that things were going to kind of calm down a little bit after this major transition point. In other words, we were sort of moving our way up that hill. And once we got to the top of that hill, say December 21st, 2012, we could then kind of slide down the hill and things would calm down for another, what is it? I keep wanting to say 5,000 to 6,000 years. Not to say that we become complacent and apathetic. I'm just saying that the fervor, the spiritual, if you will, or energetic fervor would kind of calm a little bit. But I don't hear that coming from you and this particular work.
Yeah, this work, sort of the conversation I've been having with people as I travel the world, I've been saying maybe we should have an honest conversation about 2012 and how people are feeling. And there are many different ways to look at it. One way is just to focus on love. And love is obviously always the answer. But is that the only solution right now? So if we know that the future is going to be very beautiful and a new era is going to come in, so the era that people have wanted, beautiful era of excitement and ecstasy and just doing things that we've always wanted to do will come in the future. So the things, kind of future that have been spoken about for thousands of years, whether it's in the Bible or throughout many great prophets throughout history, all spoken about this time for various reasons. Because it indicates a great change that is coming. But, as we said, there's no free lunch in the universe. So everyone knows that there is a certain crisis period we have to get over, a certain challenge period. So let's be honest about the challenges. And although what's coming after the challenges will be beautiful, but we're talking about maybe 4 or 5 years into the future. But for this period now, we need to prepare ourselves mentally, physically, spiritually, for the challenges we will face. And that's where the pain comes in, because 2012 indicates a period of transition from the material world to the spiritual world. It indicates some huge changes that are going to happen in terms of photon belts coming. But to get through those, you're going to have a slight purification process. So the Earth is going to change, and it needs to cleanse itself at this time to prepare itself. And in that process, it started pretty much intensifying last year, as you saw the earthquakes around the world, even magnitude of them, and the magnitude of volcanoes, the magnitude of tsunamis, the magnitude of wildfires here in America, and the tornadoes. So the magnitude was increasing last year. That was sort of a warning to let people know this purification process is going to happen. Now, it's not a negative thing. It's not something to go into fear about. Later on, we can talk about why this is all happening as a universe schedule. That the Earth is actually just set to evolve at this moment, and all of us on the planet as well. So as it evolves, we have to make sure that we are on this planet and get through this process. This process is going to be quite a challenge. In some sense, it's seen as the messages we're receiving, the universe saying, this is your graduation ceremony. Mm. You're on the Earth in a school, and you're set to graduate, and you have a little test. And this is your test to see, will you be able to make yourself light and bright and warm enough to get through this period of challenge that is coming? And so as you go through material to spiritual, then you'll have to be able to let go of something materially and spiritually. Will you be able to do that? Will you be able to make your body strong and your mind empty enough to go through this and be full of love enough? But just saying, just have love. Well, then what about the preparations that's needed for that? That's not the answer. It's not being 100%, sincere in its answer. So unfortunately, I have the hard part of going around traveling the world, giving people the honest conversation. And love is the answer, of course, but then it needs some other things as well to that. Prepare, because it will be a period of challenges. And last year was very strong indicator that we haven't finished this period of challenges yet. Last year just warning us. And things ebb and flow. We saw what happened in Japan. So those kind of events are set to happen. That's not the big picture. It's not the world coming to an end. It's the transformer. It's the method of change that has to happen. So this purification process will happen this year, But if we know the bigger picture, this is our graduation process, what's going to happen afterwards as the Earth evolves, that's human beings, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. But this photon belt that is coming is not a simple process. So we need to make sure that we have the proper mental and physical preparation to make it through that, because it's not easy. So that's where the pain comes in, it's just having an honest conversation. Mm. And people, of course, don't want to hear about pain. It's easy to not focus on that. People don't. But the universe also wants, because everyone is here at this moment in time, because they chose to be here. Everyone chose to be here right now for this fabulous opportunity to play a role right now. So everyone should remember what their role is, remember how they can prepare themselves, and they can be a part of this great change that's going to happen. So that is the meaning of the love and the pain. So we just have an honest conversation about it. That's too much to handle, what you think.
I think that's just fine. I know that there are those who, from some circles, who would say, well, you know, that's all fine, well, and good, but, I mean, this is all just cyclical. I mean, this has happened before. It's going to happen again and again and again. But we probably won't be here, at least not in these bodies, because the cycles are rather long. Matter of fact, if you are looking at the Mayan calendar, of course, it's 5,000-year cycles, roughly, and that is actually umbrellaed, if you will, under a 25,000-year cycle, and that we are actually coming to the end of that huge 25,000-year cycle. And so this is a big transition in that respect. Is that, have I heard correctly?
Every single spiritual tradition on the earth right now is saying the exact same thing. Okay. That's the first thing that's very interesting. It's an interesting point. Why is that? How could it be that every single, you know, it's not some random guy standing up and saying the world's going to end on a specific date. If someone's mentioning a specific date, you know, they're really not too aware of it, because you cannot give a specific date. The end of a calendar you can predict, but you cannot say that on this certain date something's going to happen. We're not sure. The universe has its own schedule, and the universe decides the exact date or the exact month or period is going to happen. But we know that that calendar date, it ends, the present calendar of the universe ends around December 21st. So every single culture, every single religion has been speaking about that. But what happens the day after that? No one's written about that. So the teachings that are coming down now that people are channeling, that I have in my book, this is the first time that what happens after that is spoken about. What happens after that, no one's written about now. All of the teachings are now pointed to what would happen in December. You know, so the calendar would come to an end, and a new cycle would happen. Then they speculate, well, it would be the end of the world, it would be a new, you know, great civilization. Speculating about that, but not sure. But yeah, everything's pointing to that date, to around the 21st. But so it opens up a new era. But what we're seeing is that this period from 2012 will be a period of some challenges for 3 or 4 years. And then by 2025 should be the completion of this new, we call it sort of a new humankind. The Earth is supposed to evolve up to a fifth-level planet, or even higher, perhaps. So that is supposed to happen up to about, by 2025, this whole cycle should come to an end, and the whole beginning of this new humankind should begin by then.
You know, I happen to watch a fair amount of television. I'm not sure if you do at all. I know a lot of folks that I've interviewed don't watch television. They don't see any need for it. I myself watch those kinds of programs that really have no time or date stamp on them. They're silly. I go into them knowing they're stupid, so that I can have a laugh and sing a song, sure, and, you know, and lighten things up a little bit. But there have been a couple of programs that I've watched where the first thought that came to me as I'm watching this particular scenario unfold is, what are they trying to prepare us for? I was watching this one series called Jericho, having to do with nuclear holocaust across the country, the United States in particular. And just within the first episode, that thought came to mind, wait a minute, why are they doing this? Why are they showing this kind of program? I mean, it's not just for entertainment. I mean, they choose these scenarios for reasons, even if they don't know what they are. And I thought, this is awful scary to think that they're preparing us for this inevitability. And yet I'm seeing other programs now that are allowing nature to take care of the business that, that the atomic bomb would have taken care of in that other scenario. And I'm thinking, okay, because I have spoken with people, Roar, who basically are telling me that this cycle's happened, as we've said before, many times, and that every time it happens, 97% of the population, man and animal, has been wiped off the face of the earth. And I just, am I in denial? Is this what's going to happen? Or is this fear-mongering, is this the pre-Y2K kind of fervor that people are trying to generate?
I mean, these cycles have happened before, but the information we're getting is that this is the first time that this is a grand universe project. And other times it was just a cycle of the Earth. The Earth does go through cycles. Every planet goes through cycles. So, in fact, these things do happen on the Earth in Atlantis or Lemuria. When the Earth gets to an extreme point, you know, in terms of its material civilization, it does go through these cycles. It's true. This time is different. This time the universe is involved in this one. The universe is very concerned about it. They said it's just like the universe created the Big Bang, and it was the material creation of the universe. Now it's the spiritual creation of the universe this time. And so the Earth itself is actually created for this time right now. So the universe doesn't want everyone on the planet to die, like other cycles that have happened before. So in fact, this time, as many people as we can, are set to survive this one. And that is up to us, completely up to us. It's different from the past. In the past, many people were wiped out, but this time it's very different. This time it's a huge number of people. I mean, I don't want to go into numbers here, but a huge number of people, especially those who are awake and listening to this kind of program. We know that at least 10% of the planet is already set to survive this kind of process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an evolutionary process. Those who are awakened to it can easily get through it. That's what having the honest conversations about. It's not fear-mongering, because fear would just say the world's coming to an end and just deal with it. It's actually, there's an evolutionary process happening, so people need to broaden their minds and say, so the universe is actually set to evolve itself. Planets, the galaxy, the entire universe is set to evolve this time. They said it's a universe graduation process. So in that, we need to prepare ourselves in terms of, you know, making sure that the body's strong and healthy. We need to make sure that we don't have... Now, people see it in different ways. They say there's Planet X, there's Nibiru, there's a comet. But as we see it, there's something called a photon belt. The photon is very hard to understand. It's a very hard concept. So this invisible ray, this invisible light. And just like you have aromatherapy and you have essential oils, and essential oil basically takes the essence of a fruit or a plant. Well, photon belt basically takes the essence of the most high-dimensional energy and wavelength. And you know, goes through the entire universe. When you go through that, you have to resonate at the exact same wavelength as that. Otherwise, it's very difficult to go through that process. So we're seeing this year and next year, these photon belts, not one, but four photon belts are aligning at this time. Such a high level of dimensional resonance, wavelengths, energies that are going to flow through the entire Earth. So when that happens, then it's like a laser ray, and that laser ray goes into the parts of the body that are weak. That laser ray goes into the parts of the body where you have too many mental conflicts and too many prejudices. And it goes into the body where you have too many emotional turmoil. So, and then it starts to go into the body and makes it a difficult time. Those people have to really think about the meaning of this. This is a shift from the material to the material civilization to the spiritual civilization. Then we need to not let go of material, but we can't be attached to it. And we have to stop all things that make us shake. Whether it's material, whether it's relationships, whether it's money, not letting go of them. But if those things are making you shake, it'll be a very difficult time to get through this kind of process. That's being honest.
I know that one of the high recommendations that is made by many of our guests to prepare, to recenter, to refocus, is to get back to nature. Is to spend some time. If you're by the beach, go out to the beach. If you're in the mountains, get away from technology if you can for even 5 minutes, just to sort of recenter and maybe recharge your batteries. And yes, some have even suggested hugging a tree, holding onto that tree in that respect, and just sort of sort of vibrating in that respect. And I'm guessing that is also your recommendation as well. But what else can you offer us in the way of preparation for this transformation? And I'm going to have you answer that when we come back from break. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned. Understanding is what this program is about, understanding where our guests are coming from and what they have to offer, and we encourage you to check out our guests. Our guest today, for example, Rory Shepherd at RoarShepherd.com. That's R-O-A-R, RoarShepherd.com. Now, Roar, I asked you a question before we went to break in regards to preparation. What other recommendations can you give us as we move forward in this linear time frame?
One thing is to think honestly about what's happening in the world and really pay attention to what's happening out there. One thing is we need to broaden our mind, and that we focus so much on comfort. You know, comfort's very important, but are we too attached to comfort? We need to think about that. There are many shows out there, like a show called The Colony, that shows people like how to survive in survival situations or something like that. It's very extreme, but we need to ask us that we're too focused on comfort, because we need to think about all various kinds of situations. So one thing we can do is to make our body strong. Make sure you do all kinds of things to make the body strong, whether it's exercise or... what I do is I teach breathing. I did all these conversations through breathing. I spent over 10 years in the mountains doing the arts of what we call Danjam breathing, learning to breathe from the gut. But learning to breathe from the gut gives you balance. It helps you get over emotional turmoil, helps you center yourself, helps reduce hunger pains, and helps reduce losing your balance. And there are many great benefits from breathing. Breathing also is a way that people have reached enlightenment as well. So I do recommend that people look into something about breathing, especially Danjam breathing, which is on my webpage there. Also some basic exercises that are there. And people, a simple thing to make the mind comfortable is to just take out a pen and write down a list of all the people you've met in your life. Just think of your entire life and think of every single person you've met and write their name down. Then as you do that, just in your mind, write to them, say to them, thank you, I apologize, and I forgive. That's something we probably have done before or haven't done before, but... when you do it, it frees up everything, all the karmic ties, all the heaviness inside your mind. And as you do that, if you go across somebody, you say, oh, not that person, there's no way. I can't apologize to that person. If there's someone like that in your mind, then you have some kind of heaviness in your mind. And that's hard to deal with. So we need to make our minds as light as possible. So making that kind of list and figuring out why you have that kind of heaviness in your mind, and so letting go in that sense. Finding ways to make the mind as light as possible and to be centered. And as I said, breathing helps you with that and making that list. Other thing is to broaden your mind and to not just focus on things around you, but try to see things from a much wider point of view. See things from nature's point of view. I mean, nature is very sick. It's called Mother Gaia, but she's not in a healthy situation. So sending prayer to her or love to her, or trying to speak to the animals or speak to the plants. One way to commune with nature, and so you send it good vibrations and helping her to cure. If she can cure a little bit through your care and love, then that can reduce some of the changes that will come as well. Also broaden your mind that you don't shake by anything. No matter what comes, you realize it's a part of the process. No matter what events come, you can see them unfolding as a process that will help you keep your balance as well. There are also some physical preparations that people should make in terms of learning to work together with your community, maybe making a garden, having some heritage seeds, storing some clean water, learning how to make an eco toilet. There's some people, you know, I was just in San Francisco recently teaching the breathing and lecturing out there. And this topic seems to be a very taboo topic in California. People are very open in it around the world. California didn't want to hear much about this. And that's why I realized there's too much focus on comfort out there, because the living is so beautiful. But we need to start thinking about these things and having a much wider conversation, because as I said, last year was a great indicator, and maybe some events will come again in the future too that make us think about it.
Well, I know that in terms of preparation, as we are speaking here today, there is a little winter storm heading our way. Could last 3 to 5 days. Doesn't look like it's going to be huge, but it's going to drop some rain, possibly some snow on the mountains. And we derive our heat from burning wood. And so in the last few days, even as we are still burning wood for heat, as that goes on, I have to continue to cut the wood from the trees that I have felled in the area where I live in order to have that stuff small enough to fit in there to burn to keep us warm at night. And when I was out there last night, for example, I had to keep at it for a little longer than I really wanted to because I knew that we were going to need a little extra for the weekend. And I realized that, yeah, this, you know, maybe had I been a little more aware of the storm that was coming, or if I rescheduled some things to where I could spend more time out there and not have to put quite as much exertion, the reality was that's where I was. That's what I had to deal with. And I got through it. And it's the same thing that you're talking about in terms of the preparation. I know that there's a lot of talk about, you know, getting preparedness kits for whatever eventualities may come as far as earthly events. But at the same time, there are spiritual transition is what you're talking about in a big way here. And is this through 2025? And is that at a point when maybe things will begin to will be allowed, so to speak, by the universe to allow the dust to settle so that we can...
The universe expectation that everyone makes it through this. They want the entire process to go smoothly. And as I said, this is the Earth's chance to evolve.
Right.
And also the universe. So we just have to make sure we stay on this planet. And one of the big things of the meaning of 2012 is that the Earth will evolve, but it'll evolve with living beings on it.
Mm-hmm. So there
because
is
when you're alive, you have the greatest chance of evolution while you're in a human body.
Right. So there is no mothership coming to pick us up to save us from anything.
So all that stuff is, again, it's comfort, right?
People, right.
They feel comfortable knowing that somehow the cosmic beings are going to come down and cure our illnesses on the planet, and they're going to take out all the toxins away from us, or they're going to save us somehow. That was tried, you know, several thousands of years ago, and cosmic beings realized that they cannot touch the one thing that human beings have, your free will. Mm. No matter what they do, they can give us advanced technology, they can try to push you in the right direction, but if you don't want to go in that direction, you don't have to go. No matter what the universe does, it's all based on your individual volition, your willpower, which you choose.
Let me ask...
Yes.
I was going to say, let me ask you about that, because it ties into my next series of questions to you about when this or these conversations began for you, not only in terms of this new work that you have, The Universe Speaks, but just in terms of your conversations with your higher self, that higher power, the universe, again, whatever name we choose to give it. Did you just start out hearing and following the promptings, as I like to put it?
For me, I spent 15 years living in South Korea, and I discovered the arts, which is similar to Buddhism and Taoism. They call it sun. S-E-O-N in Korea, and it was their own tradition of meditation and breathing. So it's a mixture of Buddhism, Taoism, but even coming before that, based on a very deep breathing method. And from this, we learned that through breathing, you can lower your wavelengths and tap into the various frequencies that are out there, just like a radio station. So although it's a form of channeling, it's a different form of channeling, in that channeling happens when some voice comes to you and says, here, I'm going to speak to you, listen and receive. So it's sort of a passive relationship. But when you do breathing, after 10 years of breathing meditation, then you realize that actually you've lowered your wavelength to an alpha wavelength. So the alpha wavelength is the wavelength of the universe. And there are various, there are over 350,000 different wavelengths. If you can maintain that low wavelength and have concentration plus consciousness and maintain it, where there's not a movement of emotions or thoughts or consciousness, it's just breathing, then you can tap in, and you can actually actively choose what you're going to communicate with. It's like having a cup of coffee. You can have a conversation. For me, it started out, I was working on an eco-village in the mountains of Korea, and I was learning about wild plants, they call weeds. And I was told that these wild plants are actually the gift from the universe, and they contain all the enzymes and all the vitamins we need to survive on the planet. Just these little dandelions that we mow away with our lawnmowers out here. In fact, if you eat those, or if you, better yet, if you can put them with sugar and ferment them for 3 months, then one spoonful of that contains all the essential enzymes your body needs to survive, to live off. So I was learning all these things that I realized that through breathing that I was actually able to sit down and initiate a conversation with not just the plant, you know, to the high plant, how are you? You actually speak to the soul entity of the plant's kingdom, and you find that they have all this information about the plants and everything, about what's happening on the earth, and even many aspects of what's happening in the universe. So through that, I published another small little book about the conversations with them, Tears of the Earth, and they started telling me all these sad stories about how much pain they're in, how much pollution there is, and how the whales are dying in suicide because they cannot live on the earth anymore. Some beautiful stories about how beautiful it is to be a plant and how they can tap into the universe and how much hope they have for us. They want to be like us. Mm. But also, on the other hand, how they're preparing for things that are to come. And why are human beings not preparing? They're preparing. Why aren't we?
Yeah.
So through that, I became very awakened to, wow, I didn't know that any of this was happening. I didn't take the environments very seriously or 2012 very seriously. Listen to them, and after that, I started looking on the internet going, wow, this is true. Fish and plants and are dying here left and right around the planet, and it gets a little bit more serious than I had thought about. And from there, I started saying, well, I need to know what the universe point of view is. So I started to initiate conversations with planets and areas of the universe to see if I can get higher-level answers. So that's how it happened for me. I do it as a conversation. I initiate the conversation, and we, like having a cup of coffee, I could start it or I could stop it at any moment. I'm always aware of the conversation. So it's very different from what people have told me, how they channel. You know, they go into a channel, they go into a spell, they don't remember what happens from the beginning to the end. So, I don't know, each situation is different, but in my case, that's how I'm able to do it. I continue on every day, and I'm just able to initiate these conversations, have them that way.
And as far as your conversations, have they been exclusively about 2012 and preparation and the transformation and the transition, or have there been other conversations about other aspects of life, or is there nothing really that's that important right now that you're conversing about?
I mean, I've had the conversations for various years now, so I do have various conversations about all aspects of life. And the book I had deals with 2012, because that is the biggest theme. In the book, I had conversations with famous people who've been on the earth, such as Socrates or Mozart or something. And I can read you this little part here as a conversation I had with Mozart. Mm-hmm. And all of them said the same thing, just how wonderful it is. All of us, in fact, are cosmic beings. All of us have actually come from somewhere in the universe, from a planet. So, and all of us chose to come down to the earth to fulfill a role. All of us. And it's all about evolution. So, can I read this to you?
Sure, please do.
So I said, Mozart, why did you come to the earth, and what was the meaning of music to you? And it said, music is the instrument that can touch a person's soul. It is a tool that can form a bridge which connects a human to their inner world. In many cases, human beings are too far removed from their original self to know this. However, music leads people to their innocent, original mind. The reason why I came to the earth with music as my specialty, because I wanted humans to hear music that can do that. In other words, I wanted to help people meet their original self. I would like to call it communication and healing. It was such an honorable and happy role for me that I was able to visit the earth, and that I was able to carry out what I planned, and that I experienced life as a human being while doing all of this. These are the happiest moments in my life. So the book has many conversations with cosmic beings. And so the beginning part just talks about the pain of Gaia and what are some of the events that are going to happen continent by continent. Over the next few years. But then later on, it gets this incredible, hopeful, wonderful future of the new politics, the new love, the new society, the new technologies, incredible things. We're not going backwards. We're going towards the future. Incredible hope and integrity. But also, when you talk to the causing beings, why did they come here? Why did Mozart come here? Why did Shakespeare come here? Why did Mother Teresa come here? They all came here because the Earth is just an amazing place, one of the rarest planets in the universe. Such a rare planet throughout the entire universe that you have this collection of animals and plants and variety of, the variety is just huge, the diversity, and then human beings as well. They came here to learn something, to play their role, and to help others try to find themselves. Because we all feel lost, but if we can remember, we came here to do something. And they're all trying to send us wavelengths of love and hope, and trying to remember why we came here, and that this is a great experience for us. It's not a heavy time or something to feel terrible about. Actually, it's very difficult just to be born on the Earth, they say. They said you have to actually be a high-level soul just to be born here. So the approach I'm kind of having is more of a metaphysical approach.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more the wider picture about this. You're actually a very brave soul for coming here. It's very difficult to come here. So just the fact that you came here means you're a very high-level soul.
We are all part of an elite group.
Exactly. So all, but we have to remember, why did we come here? That's what we have to remember.
All 7 billion of us.
Exactly.
Now, I've been talking with a number of people about all of this, too, and most everybody is very hopeful. Very optimistic about the humankind, the future of humankind. I am also curious as to what Roar Shepherd hopes to and wants to achieve through the work that he is doing.
Obviously, my goal is that I want to help, the Earth become the beautiful planet it needs to become. And I want everyone to become awakened to who they originally are and to evolve to the highest potential that is possible. And that is only possible if we shift our way towards going to the more spiritual culture. America is a very fortunate country in that its material civilization is very high. And that's very important because the process of spiritual evolution must go through material. So if we can shift this material civilization to a spiritual civilization based on material, then you have the highest possible, culture there is. And so that is the dimension we're going towards, a much higher spiritual culture based on a much higher material culture. So letting go of the factors that try to possess other people and using the factors of greed. But this process is not easy. It sounds lovely, but in fact, people also aren't being truthful about this. Because you could tell people, if I tell you right now, you have to empty your material possessions or the things that you possess, would you be able to do that? And most people say, no way. But then again, they say, but I'm a very spiritual person. So there's this great dilemma that people have in their mind as well. They want to be spiritual, and they want to go on that path, but they don't understand the concept of emptying, too. When you empty, whatever you empty, you receive that much greater. The universe will give it to you. You must be willing to empty it, let it go.
Yeah.
But so that process, we're going to have to go through that process. So to make this emptying process much easier, if you can declutter and let go of these attachments now, it'll be a much easier process when we go through it. As I said, it's no free lunch. To go through this process, to this beautiful world that's coming, it's going to be an emptying process that we have to go through. The more we internalize that now and prepare ourselves for this emptying process, and also this, the crisis, the disaster that comes, just an emptying process for us. Not such a big deal.
Right.
We keep ourselves centered, and realize this is just an emptying process, just a process that we must go through, then it'll be okay. But there's going to be lots of chaos around you.
Yeah.
So you must also, if you can empty and become centered, and realize it's just a process, broaden your mind, then you can help all the people around you.
Right. Right. Exactly. Who is Roar Shepherd?
Roar Shepherd is, I'm an author of the book The Universe Speaks on the Love and Pain of 2012-2025. I'm also a master of dungeon breathing. And one major aspect of this future we're going into is that not only are we going to have a large percentage of the population survive this and go through to a highly evolved planet, but you're going to have also the meaning of 2012 is the period where people are supposed to awaken. Enlightenment is supposed to happen now. And so up until now, you've had people on the Earth who were here and there, a few enlightened people, and everyone had to just sit down and listen to them talk and talk and lecture and lecture. That wasn't so fun. Now is the time where you yourself don't have to listen to anyone. You yourself become enlightened. That's the other meaning of 2012. So But for, not everyone becomes enlightened just because you survive or get through or at the, you're right here at the time of 2012. You can get that chance to do it, but you still have to make the effort. And the effort goes through breathing. Breathing is the way that even without a 2012, even without a photon belt or a cyclical event on the Earth, the way you can evolve and reach enlightenment throughout history has always been breathing. And the way to survive through any event that's ever happened on the Earth before has always been through breathing. So breathing is the one way that, that those who are awake now must go through breathing to awaken themselves and become the enlightened people of this new era. So what I do is I teach people how to breathe and how to awaken yourself. So how to prepare yourself through exercises, how to awaken yourself through breathing. So that's why I travel the world, and I teach about honesty about what is coming, how to prepare our body and mind, and then how to breathe to awaken yourself.
Roar Shepherd has been my guest. He's the author of The Universe Speaks on the Love and Pain of 2012 to 2025. I thank you so much for taking time out to share your story and the information that you have with us, and we hope that we will have a chance to talk to you again in the near future.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at this time, love to Lal.